Morning, everyone. Wednesday, June 22, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. Pup, you're back. You're back as the Aussies.
Oh, dear.
Go down 3-1 in the one-day series against Sri Lanka overnight, a four-run defeat. Ugh. And we looked to be cruising. At one point, we needed 70 from 86 balls with six wickets in hand, and then their spinners just got the better of us, and in the end, we've fallen four short. Morning to you.
Yeah, morning, boys. I think I should have stayed at home today after my comments about Sri Lanka. No chance of winning one game against the Aussies in this series in any format. But congratulations to them. Yeah, they won't be happy, Australia. And again, we see that we've got a problem against spin bowling. I'm a little confused as to why Finchie won the toss and wanted to chase, seeing the wickets have been turning. I think Sri Lanka picked four spinners, so it was obviously their tactic. Generally, when conditions are like that, you want runs on the board and you want to bat when it's spinning its least. So the wicket, even in a one-dayer with footmarks and you know, a used wicket, you think the wicket's going to spin more batting second. So interested to hear why he made that decision. But yeah, take nothing away from Sri Lanka. They've picked the team in those conditions that it is spin to win. It's as simple as that. And now I worry about what Australia's going to think come these test matches. Are they going to think, let's do the same, let's pick three spinners? I don't think we need to. I don't think that's our way. I think the key is to utilise Nathan Lyon and Swepson if he's the second spinner and bowl them at the right times and from the right ends with the right fields. And then the key is going to be how we bat, how we face spin. David Warner, exceptional last night. Unfortunate to miss out on his 100, but a good innings. And he needed some runs as well, Dave. He hadn't been scoring many runs. But, yeah, just that collapse through the middle once again. Not good enough, Mido, unfortunately. And it's a big loss. We should be dominating Sri Lanka, not beating them. We should be dominating them in any conditions around the world. But it's the game. Congrats to Sri Lanka. They were awesome and deserve to win.
Loza, morning to you. Rip round tonight at Belmore, Lebanon, Malta. Kick it off.
Yeah, I see that, Mido, in the Elias Fenwick Cup.
That is what it's called,
That's what
it?
It's called, yeah. Yeah.
Saw them hugging the other day. Yeah. Who would have thought those two would be hugging each other?
I know. They've had a long-standing rivalry and feud for such a long time. But that's good that they're
awesome.
Back talking. I see Michael Checker won't be there at the game because he's had to fly over to Argentina to get ready for a game that he's coaching for rugby union. Mm. So flight was changed, so he had to go overseas. But, yeah, I'll be intrigued to see, you know, how both these nations go. Obviously, it's a warm-up for Lebanon for the World Cup. If all their players available, Lebanon, there's a lot of Lebanese players or players that are eligible to play for Lebanon at the end of the year in the World Cup. They'll come up with a decent footy side. But tonight at Belmore Oval, if you're looking for a game of footy, get out there and have a look at Lebanon play against Malta.
It's amazing, Michael Checker, isn't it, to think that he's going to be coaching in two World Cups within 12 months in two different codes.
Yeah.
He's now the head coach of Argentina in rugby, and here he is about to coach Lebanon in a World Cup later this year. That's it. I'm sure that'd have to be a first.
Oh, I can't think of too many other people that have been able to
coach.
Do that as a head coach, two different sports within the space of 12 months. But well done to him. And I think, you know, you can transfer your skills. I see he's got, you know, Matt King from the Roosters helping him, you know, Robbie Farah. So technically, all bases will be covered. But, you know, check there as the man manager in this squad. I think it'll be a good thing.
Okay, some spice heading into Game 2 of Origin after we're all really nice to each other heading into Game 1. And I'll get to one back page early this morning, back page of the Courier Mail. Apparently Liam Martin's the grub now, according to the Queenslanders. Looking for a blue, the headline, Mad Martin is now Maroon's number one or enemy number one. So they've found four incidents between the 64th and 68th minute of Game 1. Oh, seriously, this is, I mean, we've seen this before. So the Courier-Mail's targeting him, saying he's the new villain. Apparently went on a, quote, grubby rampage. And so I just want to put the pressure on, I guess, with the talk that Brad Fittler has, you know, spoken to Jared Maxwell about some things that he believes that Ashley Klein missed in game one. By the way, Ashley Klein's been appointed again for game two. The Queenslanders and their cheerleaders, I suppose, just making sure that the referee's aware of some other stuff that they perceive to have happened. This is, Loz, you were a part of it. These are the games that are played.
Just tit for tat, Mido. You're trying to come up with a little bit of an advantage, try and make the referee aware of what's going on from the opposition perspective. But I think at the end of the day, the referees don't read the papers. They're not going to be influenced by what New South Wales say or what Queensland say. They'll go out there and referee to the best of their ability. They'll try and make it as limit the amount of penalties they have to give. But sometimes they will give penalties in an Origin game if it starts to become, you know, too slow at the ruck, if players are standing offside, if they're, you know, causing foul play. So the referees will just react to what the players do. In that first game, I thought it was a terrific contest. I thought it was very fast. I thought it was very open. New South Wales, I thought, lost their way at times during that game, and Queensland just hung in. And as Queensland do, a lot of their brilliance comes off one or two individuals creating something. You know, a line break or a Munster line break or a Ponga going down a short side. Whereas New South Wales, when you watch them play, and they've been very good at it, it's all sort of set pieces. It's all that sort of block plays and Penrith style coming out in the New South Wales team. But they just didn't have their rhythm up in game one. So they've changed the team, and we'll see whether they can get their game plan on Sunday night.
Some other sports news overnight elsewhere in golf. It's not an exodus yet, but the trickle is getting faster. World number 19, Brooks Koepka, four-time major winner.
No, surely not.
He's off to the LIV Tour.
Surely not.
The PGA Tour, by the way, it looks like they're going to respond and increase purses, etc. So we'll speak to Dick Fain, actually, later this morning. This morning, a bit of a change in the times, by the way. Bulldog, because he's Perth-bound. He's going to join us, I think, just before he catches his flight, just after 6 o'clock in about 20-odd minutes time, 25 minutes time. Dean Bulldog Richie, and we'll have Dick Fain later this morning, about 20 to 7. But Brooks Koepka, he's off. And so is the world number 20, the Mexican Abraham Anser. They've gone to the LIV Tour.
Well, I think we forecast this, that money will do a lot of talking when it comes to golf. And if you've got big, deep pockets, then eventually those players will make their way across to that tour. Not everyone will do it, but you'll have some of the world's best golfers in that tour. They need to come together. They need to sort out what the program looks like, and they need to incorporate, I suppose, some of these events on the PGA or into the PGA going forward.
And also in the NFL, Loz, after 11 seasons, 4 Super Bowls, Rob Gronkowski is retiring this for the second time. So Tom Brady won't have his big sidekick there for his third season or a third season there in Tampa Bay. But one of the most popular players, Gronkowski, and certainly he and Brady have for one of the great quarterback tight end combinations, probably the greatest, in fact, in
Batman
NFL history.
Batman and Robin, weren't they? Yeah. They were just hand in hand. Everything that Brady did, Gronkowski was there alongside him. And he was instrumental in getting him to go and play with the Tampa Bay side when he obviously retired from New England. So, he's been a wonderful player, Gronkowski. It won't be the end of him either in terms of seeing him on the box, because I'd say he'd have a career either as an actor or a commentator or a feature in a lot of advertising for companies well into the future, because he's a massive name over there.
Now, already on the text line, Clark, and I guess this was always going to happen when the defeats came. People weren't happy about Justin Langer and the way he left as Australian coach. And Brett from Richmond says, Clark, is this a sign of a soft coach? Soft underbelly in the team. And another one, great move getting rid of JL, as long as the team's happy, says Fitzy.
Oh, my God.
Well, this was always going to happen.
Yeah, and you can understand why people are going to say, well, look, the truth is, and again, you have to be careful because you need to pay credit to the team that wins, right? And Sri Lanka deserve all the credit in the world. They produced pitches that they knew were going to spin, but their execution was great. Their spinners did well. Their batters made hundreds. So congratulations to Sri Lanka winning this one-day series. But no disrespect, Australia should be dominating Sri Lanka. So guess what? They're going to cop criticism. I don't care what conditions they play in. I don't care what spinners. They're not facing Murali. They're not facing Warney. Australian batsmen should be able to score enough runs against these spinners to win one-day games. And if they can't, how are they going to go into test match on days 3, 4, 5? Mm-hmm. Because if you're Sri Lanka now, you're saying, mate, I want it spinning on day one. Just that's our only chance of beating the Aussies.
Yep.
So I think the criticism that comes now, unfortunately for the players, they deserve it. But again, I don't want to be hard on Finchie. It's questionable why. I want to know why he thought batting second, chasing, was the way forward. If you knew it was going to turn, you saw their team sheet. You see they got four spinners in their team before you toss the coin. That's telling you what the wicket's going to be like. Mm. I don't know how he thought it was going to be easier batting second than batting first. Unless maybe there was some dew he was thinking. I don't know, but I think that was a big core. To want to chase when you know it's going to spin so big, and we've struggled against spin bowling. So I think the major concern is, yeah, we still struggle facing spin bowling as a batting unit, and we have done for a long time. And that's what makes playing in the subcontinent extremely hard. That's why there will still be questions about can we beat India in India, because we know the wickets are going to spin. So, yeah, the boys should be disappointed. I'm sure they are. And I'm sure they'll accept that they're going to be criticised. But yeah, I'd like to think that, I don't know, this is just my take as well. I'd like to think the coach hasn't got anything to do with it. I don't think the soft underbelly can come in 5 seconds either. Right? You can't go from being a good team or a tough team to losing that in 1-2. And we just won the 2020s as well. So won the 2020s, lost the one days. Let's see how the test series goes.
It's just that we can't play spin.
Well,
don't play spin. I reckon he should have batted first.
Yeah,
he should have taken advantage of that.
We're not getting better, Loz, against spin. I think that's like I go back to when I played. We still at times certainly in the subcontinent we really struggled against spin. The centre of excellence in Brisbane tried to produce a practice facility that allowed you to learn against. But
what happened to Marnus's little venture?
The thing on his balcony?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't
work.
That's right. Didn't work. Know what you're talking about for a second. That's
the map with the spinning.
It's getting a little
pitch.
Bit funky, aren't we?
Yeah. But we batted down to, what, 8 or 9? Cameron Green came in at 8.
Man, Paddy Cummins got, didn't Paddy get 35?
Well, Paddy came in at 9.
You know what I mean? So
Matt Kuhneman nearly won us the game. Yeah. He hit 3 fours in the last over. Yeah. He needed 19 off the last over. He got us within a shot.
I don't think anybody... Again, Davey got 99. I think we got 100 in the one-day series, did we? I don't think a batsman got 100 in the one-day series.
No, I think you're right.
And that's generally how the Australian team sets up its foundation. Mm. One player sort of sets the foundation and goes on and makes 100, which allows the other boys, especially with this current Australian team, so much power to sort of bat around him.
Yep.
So maybe that's the, miss Steve Smith with that quad strain as well. That's been Smitty for a long time, that he's been the one to go on and make a big score. And then you got the likes of Finch, Maxwell, Warner, that can come in and smack it around him. So, yeah, I think we obviously need to improve against spin. And when blokes get in, you've got to go on and make 100. That'll be the key in the test matches as well. Mm. If we get starts, we won't win. If blokes get in and can go on, because it's hard to start when the ball's turning like that, it's very hard to start your innings. Those first 10 runs are so difficult. So if somebody gets out in their first 10 runs, you sort of go, it's okay, that's the way the game goes. But the bloke that gets in and gets 50, 60... he needs to go on because he's used to the pitch conditions. Mm. He's used to the turn. He's used to the inconsistency. He needs to adapt and continue to concentrate and go on and make a really big score.
It's only a little thing, but is your anchor player, that Steve Smith, Marnus type role, should he be 3 or 4?
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters too much. No, it depends on the other batsmen that you got around them. Again, I know they're using Mitchell Marsh in the one-dayers at number 3. In the 2020s at number 3, and I can understand that because he needs a little bit of time to get in, but he's got amazing power. I don't know if Mitch Marsh is still our number 3 in in one day cricket. Yeah. I think you probably would go to Smitty as your number three. And then the question is, can you have Smith and Marnus in the same one day team? I don't think you can in 2020, but in one day cricket, I still think there's a role for the number three and number four to be your foundation, particularly when you look through the Australian order. If you've got Warner Finch, power, aggressive. You got Maxwell, power, aggressive. You got someone like a Stoinis, for example, when he's fit as well. But looking at this team here, I think there's, you know, Alex Carey batting where, why is Alex Carey batting in front of Travis Head as well? Travis Head just made 70-odd, didn't he? You know, I just some questions. You know, Glenn Maxwell, why is he coming so low? They've obviously gone for left, right hand as well with sending Alex Carey up the order. They probably thought he's a good sweeper. You know, he's probably batting with Marnus, left, right hand combination. But again, if you need to do that, that's another reason where more importantly than a left, right hand combination is bat first. Don't bat second when conditions are going to be even tougher to face spin.
And as Lenny says on the text line, people conveniently forget the Aussies won the tests and one day is in Pakistan. They'll be fine in the tests in Sri Lanka.
Yeah, Pakistan didn't spin one bit. Pakistan was Pakistan was an absolute belter.
It was the Peshawar Highway.
Yeah, you can't compare Pakistan wickets to what they're facing now in Sri Lanka or what we faced in India in the last series. It very, very different.
Headlines are next. And just on that back page of the Courier Mail, Buck from Gunnedah's text in, morning boys, how can they label Martin a grub when they have Kafusi and Munster, not to mention Gagai? Have a sook, Queensland, go New South Wales, says Buck from Gunnedah. And yes, if you're just tuning in, the back page of the Courier Mail, looking for a blue, the headline, Mad Martin is now Maroon's enemy number one, and the Courier Mail highlighting four incidents they perceived to be, quote, a grubby rampage that Liam Martin apparently went on in Origin 1. Oh, please. We see all those incidents a million times, you could say, in every game. Now, on the back pages dominating the papers today is, the headlines are, firstly, on the back page of The Australian, league boss, we're not copying FINA. Back page of The Herald, Perkins, that's Kieran Perkins, fears transgender carnage at amateur level. The Telegraph, don't make us hide. Former transgender league star blasts international ban. So the International Rugby League, and Troy Grant is the former state minister, is the chairman of that body. So they've followed FINA, essentially, the swimming governing body, and they've banned transgender players from playing in sanctioned International Rugby League matches until further research is completed. And naturally, there are organisations and individuals outraged. Issues don't get much more complex than this.
No, and it's very sensitive, Mido, because all sports want to be inclusive. But at the end of the day, you have to go with the science. And if the science comes back and says it's an unfair advantage for transgender to compete, in particular if you've gone from male to female and you're competing against females, if the science says that's an unfair advantage, I think it's the correct decision.
Mm.
Is it because of testosterone in the system as a male compared to a female?
I think it's after you've been through puberty and then changed.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's where you get your unfair advantage. Mm. So,
and then integrity of sport comes under question, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it does. Because
I'm not talking integrity. The actual integrity of competition.
Yeah, but again, you know, the science and people that look into this type of stuff, if they're saying it's an unfair advantage, you can't have women competing against the transgender women if they've got an unfair advantage.
Mm.
It's just like if someone's been taking extra levels of testosterone, or if they're taking steroids or whatever it may be, if you're competing and it's unfair and you're disadvantaging the group that's supposed to be competing, well, you can't do it.
Mm.
You can't do it. FINA are allowing now competition for transgender, and, you know, I think that's great as well. But again, all sports want to be inclusive. They don't want to hurt anyone.
Are there enough transgendered players to, again, it's okay to say we're going to set up a competition, but is there enough people to compete?
Not at this stage, but they're only talking at the highest level at the moment.
They're only talking at the highest level.
They're not talking at community levels.
They're
talking at international swimming meets
and
at international rugby league.
Yeah, rugby league said the same thing. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, okay.
Also, back page of the telly, there's a picture of Stephen Crichton, the Blues centre. No glove lost as Critter prepares for Origin Stoush, and basically New South Wales have conceded. Well, a quote here, Brandy is right, and Greg Alexander made those comments a couple of nights ago that they were too nice in Origin 1, and Junior Paolo in this article saying, well, essentially, yes, Brandy was right, and the Blues looking to find some mongrel for game
one. One thing they don't want to do is give away penalties and be ill-disciplined. You don't want to be ill-disciplined in this game. And all the talk has been about, oh, we're too nice. Well, if they get too angry and they lose their head and they don't play with any control and they start blaming the referee and then lose their way and lose their focus on the job they have to do, that'll be a concern. Because they won't be winning the game if they play like that.
Yeah, and Angus Crichton in the back page of the Herald, blue touch paper, the headline there. And, well, he wasn't happy with Felice Kafusi's elbow on Sam Walker. So he's made some comments about that. So the Blues just starting to talk a bit, aren't they, about just getting a little bit agitated.
Well, you know what? Don't worry about talking. Do it.
My God.
I don't know whether they're taking a leaf out of Kenny's book and wanting the hype to be there, but the hype's got to be real. You can't just manufacture hype. You've got to get out there and you've got to show people how much it means to you pulling on that Blues jersey. You've got to show, you know, how you won't be stood over. You've got to show people how aggressive you will be by being strong in defence and strong when you carry the football. You know, there's no point talking about it because you've got to do it. And once you do it, then you take confidence out of that. And I'm expecting New South Wales to be strong. I'm expecting them to be at their best. I reckon it's a better balanced team. But Queensland will be improved as well.